When I became a Christian, I was on a mission field. I was surrounded by missionaries. Many of them were serving the church behind the Iron Curtain. When I came back to the States and began working with youth, I discovered that there were many of my colleagues that did not have a sense of mission, of being a missionary. And yet, I felt that youth ministry really was a unique and important mission field. So I want to talk about that now, and talk about, in particular, the three R's of Christian community development. First, our engagement with youth is a principled engagement. It was David Boesch, in his book, Transforming Mission, he defined mission as the participation of the Christian community in the ongoing work of the living Christ as witnesses and pointers to the love of God for the sake of the world. For many, the idea of mission was for something over there or with someone else, but it was not related to me. But the scriptures seem to talk about mission as something that is for everyone. That we, in a sense, we're all called to do something significant for God's kingdom. It doesn't have to be big, but there's something. God calls us and gives us purpose. And so, with mission, the reign or the kingdom of God is central to is a central passion of the entire Christian community. Jesus' ministry, and therefore the church's ministry, has as its focus the bringing of God's reign to those on the margins of society. And so to follow Jesus is to embrace a missionary discipleship. So youth ministry is tied to mission. The Western Church has tended to view mission as a calling of a few to foreign lands, not as applying to us and our relationship to our neighbors. And there is a reason for this. And this gets theological. At least we in the West, we have tended to place the Great Commission, go and preach the gospel, above the Great Command to love God and love your neighbor. This has great implications for us in ministry. If we place the commission above the command, it very easily can take us into a place where we reduce people to souls in need of saving and compassion to a mere technique. It's what it contributed to the great divorce, evangelism. Divorced from social action back in the early 1900s. And so it ends up, it has an impact on us. It justifies a physical, social, economic isolation from society's poor. And therefore, it can blind the church to the kingdom and our role in society. We are called to be God's people in society. But this flipping of the great command and commission, it can blind us to the opportunities that are among us. There's a sense in which God has brought the world to the city. And because of that, we are now in a position where perhaps we can get mission right. And so we have a role to play. We all do when it comes to serving the poor among us. We all have that responsibility. It was when I was introduced to John Perkins that I learned about the three R's of Christian community development. These form the core theological, missional rationale for working among the poor. And I found that these were foundational to transformational discipleship. And so what I did was I took the core values of Christian community development and I looked at youth ministry through the grid of those core values. So looking through the grid of CCD, what does urban youth ministry look like? And we start with relocation. Relocation involves making the community your home. This is one of the it's a linchpin for Christian community development, but it's also one that people have had the greatest struggle with. But I have some stories. I remember when I started working with kids, I did not live in the neighborhood. I lived outside the neighborhood, and I would come in to work with kids. But I began to have this conviction that I needed to live among the people I serve. And so I moved into the neighborhood. Within 1 week, I was broken into and robbed twice. I mean, broken window, all of my possessions, the possessions I valued were gone. And I remember just really being in disarray. And then some of the kids came over. And they looked around, and they looked at me, and they said, "Well, Ted, you're one of us now. Now you understand." I didn't think I needed that to understand. But what was significant was that they saw me as now experiencing, or at least being in a position where I could experience the same things that they experienced. And somehow that made a difference for them. It certainly made a difference for me, because now, while I don't believe you need to go through the same thing that the people you serve go through, you do need to be in a position where you can see and understand and contribute to making a difference. Another one was Charles. At that time, living in the neighborhood, and this was a few years in the ministry, and on my block had some gang influence on my block. And I was standing on my porch, and I looked down the street, and I saw this kid. Actually, as a young adult now, in a wheelchair. And what I didn't realize until he came up to me was that this used to be a kid in club. At least he attended once in a while. Well, he had gotten himself in the gangs and gotten himself shot. So he's in a wheelchair. So he's talking with some of the gang guys on the same block. And he says to them, he later tells me, he says to them, says, hey, that's Ted. You know, that's Ted with Neighborhood Ministries. And the guys say, hey, man, he's calling the cops on us. And he said, no, he's not doing that. Come on, he's a good guy. Come on, I'll introduce you. So he came over and brought him over. And again, I shared with them. I said, guys, look, I work with young people. I care about you guys. When it comes to drugs and gangs, I'm not for it. And so to that extent, I'm going to be on the other side of things. Then afterwards, they left. And Charles says, you know, Ted, you could really talk to these guys. And I said, well, you know, I'm trying to reach young people before they get to that stage. He says, yeah, but you know, Ted, you could talk to them. You know why? He says, you're black, but also you're here. You're in their neighborhood. And that meant something. I lived in a neighborhood where right down the street was one of the largest African-American churches in the city. And every Sunday, people would drive in their Cadillacs and their Mercedes. Wealthy African-Americans, they come in dressed to the hilt and they'd walk into church on Sunday. And then, so you couldn't park on Sunday because the streets were filled with their cars. And then when church was over, they would all leave again. And this did not escape the notice of young people growing up in the neighborhood. And so being there, being close, being able to be a part of the community that you serve, was an important position to have if you're going to have this kind of impact on young people. And I want to add, I'm not saying everybody needs to move into an impoverished area. Everyone has a different role in ministry. Although, I have to say, because God has brought the world to the city, now there are communities that... there was a while I would say, hey, some of y'all need to move to the neighborhood. Now, because God has changed things, he says, no, don't move. Stay and love your neighbors. God has brought the poor to you. Love your neighbors. So, relocation. Through the grid of CCD, what does youth ministry look like? Well, it looks like a ministry that emerges from within the community because its leaders have made the community their home. The second R is reconciliation. And the essential focus of Christian ministry can be summed up in a single word, reconciliation. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. To be a reconciler is to be a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. So reconciliation plays out in youth ministry through honest answers to honest questions. When you are with young people to give them honest answers to their honest questions, you're applying God's truth to felt need. But also, when a youth group becomes a safe place to be genuine and honest, you've created a social context that involves engaging God together. So the group becomes a place where reconciliation is actively pursued. That's reconciliation. So, through CCD, what does youth ministry look like? It looks like a ministry engaged in peacemaking and in sharing the good news of the gospel in ways that speak to young people's deepest needs and encourage mutual growth. The third R is redistribution. And the idea of redistribution is not a robbing from the rich and giving to the poor. It is about bringing new skills, relationships, and resources and putting them together to work to empower the residents of a given community to bring about healthy transformation. So it's about empowering people from within, bringing those skills together. So in transformational discipleship, redistribution manifests itself primarily in the area of capacity discovery among youth, and in the unleashing of those capacities in ways that benefit children, the following generation. So it's putting the resources of youth to work for the good of the community. Sky was one great example of this. She was one of our emerging leaders, high schooler. And she was walking down the street one day with a friend of hers, high school friend. And her friend was swearing, as kids do. But while they're walking down the street in the neighborhood, a child is coming towards them. And Skye recognizes this child as someone involved in her program. She has been teaching this child and working with her and her peers. Well, Skye turns to her friend and says, "You got to stop talking like this, or I can't be with you, because I am a leader with this young person, and that's going to affect my ability to lead her if she sees me accepting this kind of talk from you. So you need to tone it down, because I have a relationship with this kid." Understand that no one told her that. No one coached her in that. That was something that just happened because she realized who she was, and which meant she needed to change. It began to change her behaviors with her peers because of the influence that she had on young people. And then, with our summer day camp, we use that as the apprentice time with our leaders. They, months ahead of time, they would plan and prepare. They developed the curriculum. They ran the summer day camp. If we had college volunteers, they would come in and assist our high school leaders. Well, they were so effective that my role changed when I directed the program, but during the school months, I would be coaching and training. When it got to the summer day camp, I was the chaplain, and so I would lead the Bible studies in the morning, and I would deal with anything that would come up in the middle and in the day, any problems that would come up. But one of the great delights was when an elementary age kid would come up to my office and say, "I want to do what they're doing someday. Can I do that? Can I, when I get to be their age, can I be doing what they are doing?" And so it had a transforming effect. These high school students were the ones that were leading and making the difference, to the extent to where the elementary kids said, "Can I do what you're doing someday?" And so, peering through the CCD grid, what does youth ministry look like? Well, it looks like a ministry engaged in redistribution. That is the unleashing and nurturing of capacity in ways that invest in the long-term development of youth and children. So, the three R's and their implications for youth ministry. Number one is we need to realize that urban youth ministry is rooted in mission. Okay, mission is the study of God's movement through history. And we are all a part of that. We play a role in God's bigger kingdom agenda. The great command is the greatest command. Preaching the gospel is most potent when it's done in the context of loving God and neighbor. And it's the three R's, they are values that drive the transformational discipleship approach to urban youth development. So, for your reading, I would encourage you to look at two books. One is David Boesch's Transforming Mission, Paradigm Shifts in Theology of Mission. Now, his original book is a big book, almost 500 pages long. It's very in-depth. There is a smaller book, a concise version. But David Boesch, first he examines what mission is through the writings of Matthew, Luke, and Paul. And he derives from their writing, their understanding of what mission is. Okay, the participation of the Christian community and the ongoing work of the living Christ as witnesses and pointers to the love of God for the sake of the world. But then he goes through he examines the different epochs of history. And with each of them, he looks at how the church has responded to and exercised the mission within the context of that age. There were times when the church would compromise. There were times, but there are always times where there was a witness to genuine mission activity. It's a fascinating book. I would encourage you to see how God works through the ages and that he's working in our age right now, and you play a major part in that. Then also, again, John Perkins, Restoring At-Risk Communities, Doing It Together and Doing It Right. Again, that book, the kind of the handbook of CCD, talks at length about the three R's of Christian community development.